Okay, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Kyungdam Yoon, and I'm from GIST at South Korea. Today, I'm going to talk about a new 3D interaction using depth camera for in the augmented reality environment. And the research has been drawn out from the development of the system called Miniature AR System. And here is an outline of the talk, and let's start with the first part introduction. This is an image of the first prototype of our system, and there is a miniature table on the right side of the image, and all the scale models on the table are captured by the camera on the left side, and the augmented scene with virtual contents will be viewed in a large public display on the top of the image. And it is named the Miniature AR System, a platform that which creates an augmented space for the static models, like miniature buildings, to support dynamic interaction with the users. And in other words, an original static scene like this one will be transformed into a more dynamic scene like that one, so which has more dynamic contents in it. And as the system is generally targeted for public display like exhibits, there are some properties of interaction that should be considered in such a context. And the first one, we assume that multiple users are expected to use this kind of system in a very relatively short period of time. So it is not desirable to employ any wearable or contact input devices that give physical burdens to the users. So we need an unobtrusive yet effective tracking of interaction subjects like a user's hand. And the second one, as the name suggests, this the miniature AR system requires an augmented reality interface for manipulating virtual objects in 3D space. And in conjunction with the previous requirement, flexible recognition of casual gestures would be preferable in this kind of scenario. And also the last one, AR applications often suffer from different kinds of visual limitations, including false occlusion between virtual and real objects. And well, it's kind of extra work for this kind of interaction, but we want to ensure that we want to ensure natural user experience while during the interaction. So we would like to keep this kind of naturalness of the interaction in mind while we are developing and designing our interface. So here comes a brief list of related works. And first of all, we are adopt two categories for classifying interaction types, and they are called direct and indirect interaction. And the direct interaction, the interaction subject, like a user's hand or fingertip, is directly tracked by a tracker. It's kind of traditional interaction types, and depending on its current position of like fingertips and relation to the target object, like a virtual object in the augmented scene, corresponding actions will be taken place, and it's the common way of interaction. The indirect direction on this figure flips this notion over, like not the subject itself is tracked, but the space around the target object is being monitored by a tracker. And then the presence of the subject, well, it might be a user's hand or some other objects, will be indirectly tracked, and the presence of the subjects is established in that way. And I think it's interesting that yesterday there was a tech note which was named a device-free interaction space, and I think they have a very similar idea of this indirect interaction. And anyways, so we classify our previous works in this in two classes, and many existing approaches using fiducial markers or data gloves can be classified into this kind of contact direct interaction. But the main problem is that they require those wearable contact interfaces, which are not very comfortable for the users. And the other examples of direct interaction, like tracking bare hand, well, usually they have a limited range of interaction subjects or gestures, so it's not quite applicable to our scenario. And for the indirect interaction examples, well, there are a few examples on the virtual reality environment domain, and they usually use some kind of range sensors to detect users' motion in the virtual environment. And actually, there is one work that our spatial interaction is actually based on this work, which is called Space Sensor, published in 2000. And it was using multiple cameras to detect users' body motion in a kind of sliced space around the user. And now we want to adopt this same idea in the domain of augmented reality at a more fine-grained level. And so here is a comparison table, and our spatial interaction method is supposed to satisfy all those properties mentioned, like indirectness and non-contact, and supports flexible gestures in 3D AR environment. And handling natural occlusion in this AR environment is kind of extra. So here is a expansion for the proposed method. It is a notion of spatial interface that enables such kind of interaction. And it is basically non-contact indirect interface that recognizes user input by assessing physical occupancy measured with depth camera. And well, it's a kind of structure of the interface. The first layer of the interface is an activation layer that provides an access to the interior components. The interface itself should be hidden until the user touches it in the space, augmented space. And once it's activated, an interaction layer shows up, and it contains an internal components for interaction processing. The components include small space sensors, like that red cube, that is to recognize an occupant state of the unit space. And there are indeed virtual sensors constructed by the information from depth camera. And interpretation units aggregate occupants' information from those space sensors. And depending on its interpretation, user actions can be recognized in various ways. And one or more interpretation units constitute an interaction widget, which represents a real direct interface to the user. And it is like a GUI widget floating around the 3D space, and users then can trigger them by any subject, like fingers, hands, or even pens, or any other objects. And it is a summary of the nested structure of the spatial interface, and this kind of whole space is called an augmented space in the paper. So now take a look into some of the interpretation units. Currently we have three of them implemented for experiments. The first one is direction extractor, which extracts a global motion vector of the subject, like this finger, in the given space. And the second one is called a path detector that can recognize a sequence of occupation, thus forming a simple gesture recognizer. And the last one is called the LED selector, and it determines an occupancy ratio of the subject in the given space, and also the duration of the subject in the given space. Yep. And those occupancies actually measured by this depth camera. It is Zcam, manufactured by 3DB Systems. And in order to use this depth camera for our interface, we developed three algorithms. The first one is about depth and distance calibration. Actually, the depth information from the camera, Zcam, is not absolute, but rather in relative values, and also contains much error due to various surrounding factors. And therefore, a simple calibration process has been designed, and we use an average depth value around the fiduciary marker as a calibration sample to fit the linear depth distance calibration model like this one, to establish a relationship between depths from Zcam and the distance from our AI tracker, in this case a marker tracking. And next, the space occupancy should be checked through the depth map from the camera. And from each depth pixel, an intersection ray is projected onto virtual objects to see if it makes an collision with our space sensor. So if the collision is found in the middle of the given distance, the space corresponding to the collision point will be marked as an occupied space, and that will be used for interpretation later on. And lastly, an occlusion between virtual objects in the frame buffer and physical objects represented in the depth map will be tested before the final rendering to give a proper order of the rendering, so that we solve the false occlusion issue and the augmented reality. So here is a experimental results for some initial requirements that I explained at the first time. First experiment was to verify the non-contact indirectness of the interaction. And in this experiment, the performance of the same task done in two different interaction types, which one is the, actually the one is tracked with a traditional marker, and the same pedal was tracked by a space assessment with our interface. A sequence of movement directions of the pedal were then compared, like this one, like we just like use a pedal in the given space, and this graph shows a kind of strong correlation between two different tracking methods. And this, we can say that the spatial occupancy assessment with this kind of interface can replace the traditional marker tracking, at least in some parts of the interaction. The point is that our method does not restrict the types of interaction subjects, because we do not need any marker, or we do not restrict like finger types or hand types, hand postures. So that's one advantage. And the second experiment was to verify that our methods support a flexible input recognition with various widgets provided. So in those movies, like there is no, as mentioned already, there is generally no restriction on the types of interaction subjects. So different subjects like finger or two hands, or even with a pen, well, we can track the subjects, and like different subjects can be used for occupying the same space. So it reflects the same intention of the user. And also different interpretation units can extract various meanings from a user's action. So here are examples of three units that I explained. Well, first one is called vertical slider, which uses a direction extractor, and second one uses path detector. So there is it recognizes a simple V kind of gesture. And the last one will simply checks the time, duration of the occupancy, and and with that signal, it triggers some visit. And the last one is about a natural occlusion, but I don't think it's very essential for the idea of spatial interaction itself, so I'll just quickly skim over this part. We just set up an occlusion testing environment, and we put a virtual object and in some location, and we tested using both calibrated and uncalibrated scenes, and we found out that in a calibrated configuration, the occlusion distance was very close to the expected value, so it gives a kind of correct perspective of depth in the left image, so in the correct distance. Well, I'll just skip this part, and I'm going to finish my talk with some ongoing ideas. Here is another video about the prototype of our system, featuring a kind of circular menu like 3D widget, and it can be triggered by any rotating movement in the given space. And for example, the user can choose a command like that icons, or set up a time dial like that one. That it looks like a dial, and And this kind of widget can be made of a direction extractor and delayed selector that I explained. And I hope, like, for based on this kind of work, I hope we want to design a more complete widget for 3D object manipulation. Because previous video showed a potential spatial interaction, but it was, well, it did not fully exploit three-dimensional aspect of the interface. So I'm considering this kind of cubes in this layout. And we are designing a new widget to support basic manipulation like rotation. Well, and with those side cubes and the scaling with the other cubes and the translation with the other positions. So based on the position of our permitting into these cubes, the different cubes will be activated, and the corresponding operation will be selected, and it will be triggered by the degree of rotation made by the interaction subjects that we saw in the previous video. Well, and here is a summary of today's talk, and I've introduced the idea of spatial interaction and its interface during using depth camera. And yep, it concludes my talk. And if you have questions, go ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah, right.
I was noticing from the things you were showing that you're very impressive, just replies the space and that handles it. So since you clearly have done a lot better than we have using it, I was wondering if you could tell us quantitatively some of your experience in terms of how much filtering you need to do and how coarsely you're just replicating space to be able to get the viable objects.
Yeah, we apply some smoothing filters for the depth map, sure. But as you mentioned, we basically discretized the space into a kind of relatively large space sensors. But the size of these cubes, space sensors, are very sensitive and very important factor in designing this kind of interface. And actually, it's not written in the paper, but we are considering making a formulation that determining the size of the space sensor with the factor of interaction subjects like user's hand, like this, the size of the fingertip will be important, and also the required types of interaction for the given space. So we may have a number of number of cubes that we need, and those kind of factors. Based on those kind of factors, we may have a formulation that kind of quantitatively formulating the equation for the whole interface, and that could be a next step.
To finish off, one question about capital noise.
Mm-hmm.
So how long does one have to occupy with your volumes to be able to produce some reliable estimate that the finger, your hand, or body part is really given that cell?
Actually, well, it's not, because we already applied the filter, smooth filter, to the depth map, so it's not very relevant to the temporal noise to detect the occupancy on each frame. So it's not very it's working as you can see in the video, but that could be a problem, sometimes a problem, because, well, actually, we applied our accumulation filter, so there is kind of a reflectance on the depth map, so that may trigger the kind of phantom action during the interaction. But yeah, we have to experiment on that part as well. But basically, we assume that, well, kind of not very rapid movement of the action as you saw in the video, and that amount of movement, I think it will be still applicable. Thank you.
More questions? No, I have one. In your paper, I read that you were also thinking about like using this kind of system in for really large groups of people. How well scalable do you think this could be? We've seen the talk before, this reference for yesterday, how many people saw a large wall. Can you imagine bigger systems, or do you think there is a limit?
Well, the camera itself has a limitation that it has a kind of narrow field of view, and that is the direct factor that restricts the size of the system. So we may need a kind of a camera array that we saw that on the yesterday, but I have not tried yet because we have just only one camera. But the camera itself has a mechanism that calculates the time of flight of the rays, infrared, and reflecting back. So I'm concerned that the if we have two cameras and towards the same view, they may interfere each other. So we may have kind of incorrect depth map, and then in that case we may not apply this kind of interface in a large scale system. But well, in that case we need to like consider other approaches. Even synchronize them, well, I have to test them, but because the camera itself cannot like distinguish its the reflected rays, and the rays we do not know the interval, because the interval itself is the measure of the this depth distance. So but as I told in the first of the presentation, I preclude that kind of wearable contact devices. So.
Right. If there's no more questions, then thanks for speaking again.
Thank you.